they carried him out on the barren sand, where the rebel captains died, where the grim grey rotting gibbets stand, as Magellan reared them on the strand, and the gulls that haunt the lonesome land wail to the lonely tide. Drake faced them all like a lion at bay, with his lion head upflung. "Dare ye my word of law defy, to say this traitor shall not die?" And his captains dared not meet his eye, but each man held his tongue. Solomon Cain stood forth alone, grim man of sober face. "Worthy of death he well may be, but the trial ye held was mockery. Ye hid your spite in a travesty where justice hid her face. More of the man had he been on deck, your sword to cleanly draw, in forthright fury from its sheath, and openly cleave him to the teeth, rather than slink and hide beneath the hollow word of law." Hell rose in the eyes of Francis Drake. "Puritan knave," swore he, "headsman, give him the axe instead. He shall strike off yon traitor's head." Solomon folded his arms and head, darkly and somberly. "I am no slave for the butcher's work." "Bind him with triple strands," Drake roared, and the men obeyed, hesitantly as if afraid. But Cain moved not as they took his blade and pinioned his iron hands. They bent the doomed man over to his knees, the man who was to die. They saw his lips in a strange smile bend. One last look they saw him send at Drake, his judge, and his one-time friend, who dared not meet his eye. The axe flashed silver in the sun, a red arch slashed the sand. A voice cried out as the head fell clear, and the watchers flinched in sudden fear, though 'twas but a seabird wheeling near above the lonely strand. "This be every traitor's end," Drake cried, and yet again. Slowly his captains turned and went, and the admiral's stare was elsewhere bent than where the cold scorn with anger blent in the eyes of Solomon Cain. Night fell on the crawling waves. The admiral's door was closed. Solomon lay in the stenching hold. His irons clashed as the ship rolled, and his guard, grown weary and overbold, lay down his pipe and dozed. He woke with a hand at his corded throat that gripped him like a vice. Trembling, he yielded up the key, and the somber Puritan stood free, his cold eyes gleaming murderously with a wrath that is low to rise. Unseen to the admiral's door went Solomon Cain from the guard. Through the night and silence of the ship, the guard's keen dagger in his grip, no man of the dull crew saw him slip through the door unbarred. Drake at the table sat alone, his face sunk in his hands. He looked up as from sleeping, but his eyes were blank with weeping, and as if he saw not creeping death's swiftly flowing sands. He reached no hand for gun or blade to hold the hand of Cain, nor even seemed to hear or see. Lost in black mists of memory, love turned to hate and treachery, and bitter canceling pain. A moment Solomon Cain stood there, the dagger poised before, as a condor stoops above a bird, and Francis Drake spoke not nor stirred. And Cain went forth without a word, and closed the cabin door.